Major college football upsets, Josh Allen defeats Pat Mahomes, and other NFL news and notes. The Valley Sports Talk begins right now. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the La Valley Sports Talk Podcast, brought to you by the Soundline Network. As always, I am your host, Chris LaValle. Hope you all are doing well and staying safe. We got some massive upsets to talk about in college football this week, starting off with Texas A&M stunning Alabama 41-38. A&M jumped on Alabama early in the game. They were leading 24-10 at halftime. Bama made a charge in the second half, but it just wasn't enough. This is a massive, massive upset. It's a massive upset early. I still don't think it's going to take Bama out of the college football playoff. I don't trust the committee to be objective when it comes to SEC teams, specifically Alabama. Unless Bama loses in the SEC title game against Georgia and has two losses, Bama's still going to be in the college football playoff. I'm telling you right now. I think Bama is still the best team in college football. I know everybody loves Georgia. A lot of people are on Iowa. But just like in the NFL and Bill Belichick, I trust, it's kind of hard not to trust Nick Saban. The dude always seems to be able to figure things out. Even if he does have a loss on the season, he always seems to be able to right the ship and get his team where it needs to be. I still think Alabama is going to be in the college football playoff. I keep doing this every week, and I said it last week. This has been the craziest college football season I can think of in a while, because everyone who you assume is going to go undefeated or they're only going to have one loss on the season have lost multiple games. Look at Clemson. They're now out of the top 25. You look at a team like Ohio State that lost early this year. Really, the only two teams that have remained undefeated and that still look poised to make it to the playoff is Georgia and Oklahoma. Everybody else, like, who the hell expected Iowa to be where Iowa is right now? I mean, that's been a big shock. Michigan is nipping at the heels of a lot of teams as well. So this has been an incredible college football season. Look, if you haven't been paying attention to college football yet, you need to start. This has been the best college football season I can remember in a long, long time. Each week, and I said this a few weeks ago, the problem with college football is there really is no parity in it. You could just pencil in pretty much at least three of the four playoff teams in at the beginning of the season. You know, you had your Bama, Ohio State, Clemson, and then it was either going to be another SEC team or Oklahoma that's going to that you're going to see. And it just got really boring. This year, I still think Alabama is the team that you're going to pencil in. I don't trust the college football playoff committee to be objective when it comes to Alabama or really any top team in the SEC. But aside from Alabama, there really isn't another top team or at least a preseason favorite that we were going to see in the college football playoff. Okay, off my soapbox, moving on. Number two, Iowa defeated their Big Ten rival, the now number seven Penn State Nittany Lions. 23-20, Penn State was off all game long. They looked terrible. They lost their stud quarterback to an injury. Both QBs for Penn State combined for four interceptions and zero touchdowns. And the injury to their stud quarterback, Clifford, took the wind out of the sails of Penn State. Iowa kept in close all game, outscored Penn State 10-0 in the fourth quarter. And Iowa's only test remaining between them and the college football playoff is whoever they face in the Big Ten championship game. So that could be Ohio State, that could be Michigan. I doubt it'll be Penn State again. I think that this losing Clifford, I think, is going to devastate Penn State's chances at all of losing less than two to three games moving forward. So Iowa's look great. I still don't necessarily love Iowa. I picked Penn State to win the game last week. I told you to take Penn State because they were the favorite, and I also think that they're a much better football team than Iowa. And I understand that they lost the game, but I still think if Clifford stayed healthy, Penn State would have pulled this game out. But it is what it is. Iowa is now the second-ranked team in the country. We'll see what they've got moving forward. Number four, Oklahoma survives a shootout against Texas, 55-48. Oklahoma had no business whatsoever winning this football game. They were getting owned at halftime. They were losing by 18. Give them credit. They rallied back with a backup quarterback in Caleb Williams. Williams is a stud. Absolute. The fact, here's where I am going to say this right now. Everybody likes to praise Lincoln Riley as being like the best offensive mind in college football. And he may be. I mean, he's had his own stud of quarterbacks. You've got Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray, to name two of them. The fact, though, that you would allow this young kid, this stud, who's going to end up as the top quarterback, in my opinion, in college football within the next 2 years, Caleb Williams, the fact that you would allow him to sit on your bench, rot on your bench, for Spencer Rattler is a joke. I'm sorry, it's just a joke. Spencer Rattler is trash. Look, I said it before. He shouldn't have been the Heisman favorite coming into the season. I've never liked him. I think the kid's a punk. He's somebody who is more interested in being on camera than he is actually playing football. Think Johnny Manziel with less talent. And that's Spencer Rattler. I'm going to touch on Spencer Rattler again in a second. But Williams was a sensation. 15 to 24, 211 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 turnovers. He was amazing. He's the reason why Oklahoma came back in this football game. The whole team, the whole offense, just completely changed the way that they played with this kid at the helm. You could see it watching it in the second half of the football game. The whole team just rallied around him. Like, it wasn't even, it's not even a question. Look, Spencer Rattler's days are done in Oklahoma. He's probably going to go in the NFL. Some team is going to be stupid enough to take him. Anyway, I'll get on Spencer Rattler again in a second. The Texas quarterback played great in his own right. Casey Thompson was 20 of 34 for 388 yards and 5 touchdowns. The play calling at the end of this game is what cost Texas late. Why the hell you would all of a sudden change your game plan from throwing the football when your quarterback, again, has thrown for 5 touchdown passes to now you're going to run the ball on first and second down and then make your quarterback try and make a play on 3rd and 12 on 2 straight drives makes no sense. Texas absolutely blew this football game. They do not deserve to be in the top 25. They're now ranked 25th in the country. They do not deserve to be in the top 25. This was an absolute joke of a football game for Texas. They should be utterly embarrassed by this performance. It's just, I'm sorry. There was no reason why Oklahoma should have come back. Bringing it back to Spencer Rattler for 1 second. The kid was benched early in this game. He's not consistent. He's just not a consistent quarterback. He never has been. He's had moments. Don't get me wrong. He has had some moments. That's why he was the Heisman favorite coming into the season. Well, actually, you know, I still don't understand why he was the Heisman favorite coming into the season. I think that he must have one hell of a marketing team behind him now that, you know, you got your name, image, and likeness people out there that was pushing this belief that this kid was going to be some sort of sensation this season. And he hasn't been. He's been terrible all season. Oklahoma has been lucky to win some of the football games that they've won because of the play of Spencer Rattler. Oklahoma's defense has done more to save Oklahoma than their now backup quarterback. So anyway, the fact that Lincoln Riley would allow Caleb Williams to just sit on his bench is just, it makes me question Lincoln Riley as an offensive play caller. Real quick, before I close this out, so the top 4 teams as it stands today, you have number 1 Georgia, number 2 Iowa, Cincinnati is number 3, which I just don't understand that. But, and Oklahoma is 4. All teams are undefeated. This is not going to be your college football playoff. Cincinnati is not going to make it in, and here's why. They're in the ACC. The ACC, like the Pac-12, is a joke of a conference this season. Cincinnati is the only good team in that conference. Clemson sucks. North Carolina has not proved to be all that great either. Cincinnati's competition, and again, this is where the committee is going to ding them, is their strength of schedule. And Cincinnati does not have a very strong schedule if you look at it. They're going to play in an ACC title game. Even if Cincinnati goes undefeated, if Cincinnati goes undefeated, Georgia loses in the SEC championship game to Bama, I can almost guarantee you the committee is going to take Bama and Georgia in, and they're going to leave Cincinnati out. So you'll have 2 SEC teams, a Big 12 team, whether that's Iowa, Ohio State, Michigan, and then if Oklahoma stays undefeated, you'll have Oklahoma as the Big 12 representation. But I have a really hard time believing that Cincinnati is going to get in because, again, their strength of schedule is so weak. All right, that's enough college football. Let's move on to the NFL. This was one hell of a week in the NFL. I thought last week was insane with the games. This week is even more crazy. So I've got 3 games to recap. And the reason why I'm only doing 3 this week is because there's so much to talk about in each one of those games. And then I've got other news and notes around the league, and then we'll get to my gambling picks for the week. So let's kick this off, and we have to kick it off, obviously, with the Bills and the Chiefs. The Bills decimated the Chiefs 38-20 on Sunday Night Football. Josh Allen was 15-26 for 315 yards, 3 touchdowns, 59 rushing yards, and a touchdown. Dawson Knox, whoever the hell Dawson Knox is, I've never heard of him before. Dude had 3 receptions for 117 yards and a touchdown. Pat Mahomes was 33 of 54 for 272 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks, and a lost fumble. Mahomes had 3 turnovers in that game and at least 1 turnover in his last 3 games. The Bills dominated every aspect of this football game. Josh Allen outplayed Patrick Mahomes from beginning to end. Like, it wasn't even close. There is not one moment that even I think the hardened Pat Mahomes fan could honestly tell you that Pat Mahomes looked better than Josh Allen at any point in that football game. Not one. And this is the second game in a row at home where Pat Mahomes was outplayed by the opposing quarterback. With his performance, Allen has catapulted himself to the top of the MVP race, sitting alongside Kyler Murray, Tom Brady, and Justin Herbert. And the Bills are easily the best team in the AFC, and they might be the odds-on favorite now to win the Super Bowl. Let's move on to the Chiefs here. This is the Chiefs' second straight loss at home, as I just said. The Chiefs' defense continues to be the worst defense in the league. Like, their defense is a joke. It is unbelievably atrocious. I don't understand how you go into the offseason knowing that you got to fix your offensive line. But if you rewatch the Super Bowl tape, Tom Brady did whatever the hell he wanted against your defense for the most part. That secondary didn't do shit. They didn't stop anybody. They couldn't do anything. And now all of a sudden, what, you thought that you were just going to come into the season and make Mahomes try to put up 50 to 60 points a game and that was going to be okay? Like, the personnel decisions by the Kansas City Chiefs in the offseason they're very surprising. Because for a team that's supposed to be a quote-unquote dynasty, they have a long way to go. I said it last week, and I'm going to say it again for everyone to hear. Mahomes is not the best quarterback in football. He's not. You cannot watch what you've seen from Pat Mahomes this year and honestly say he's the best quarterback in football. He's not playing like a top five quarterback right now either. You can look at his numbers all you want. Watch the games. Watch what he's been doing on the field. He's been throwing the ball away, meaning turnovers, left and right. He's actually reverting back to the Pat Mahomes that we saw in college, which is why I had said when everybody was jumping on the Pat Mahomes bandwagon, I had said early on in his career that I didn't buy into him being better than Aaron Rodgers because I remember what I saw in college. And that was a guy who played a lot like Brett Favre. He was somebody who could throw the ball to anybody on the field. There's no questioning his arm talent. But he made a lot of bad choices on the field. And that's what we're seeing right now. And I don't know if it's because he feels like he has to put up 60 points every single game, so he's forcing throws, or he's taking ridiculously stupid chances. I'm not sure. But the Chiefs are in trouble if Pat Mahomes can't get his shit right either. Because you don't have a defense. You now have a quarterback who's trying to force balls into places that he shouldn't be. And he's just turning the ball over left and right. The Chiefs have their next six games against Washington, which they should win. The Titans is a toss-up right now. The Giants, which they should win. The Packers, they'll likely lose. The Raiders is a toss-up. And the Cowboys, which they will likely lose. So they'll be lucky to go 4-2 in that span. More than likely, they're going to go 3-3. And if they go 3-3 in this span, they're in trouble. I mean, look, they'll make the wild card because I think they're the best wild card team moving forward. At least, I don't think they're going to win the division at this point. They're two games behind the Chargers. The Chargers are cruising right now. They look like the second or third best team in football. So, realistically speaking, the Chiefs are now playing for a wild card, which will be the first time that they're doing it in the Pat Mahomes era. But, look, realistically speaking, this is not a Super Bowl team. This is a team that could get bounced out early in the playoffs. If they were to face either the Bills, the Ravens, or the Chargers early in the playoffs, I don't think they're going to beat either of them. Not to mention the fact that the Chiefs are going to be playing on the road. They're not going to have home field advantage like they've had in years past. At least not early, depending on who gets knocked out in the playoffs. But more than likely, they're going to have to travel. And they're not going to get a bye week either this year. So there's a lot of things that are coming to pass for this Chiefs team. They're just not as good as everybody wanted them to be. Moving on. Game of the weekend. Chargers beating the Browns 47-42. Justin Herbert, my favorite quarterback in the league, 26-43, 398, 4 touchdowns, 29 rushing yards, and a rushing touchdown. Williams continues to be the best wide receiver in football. 8 receptions for 165 yards and 2 touchdowns. Baker Mayfield, 23-32 for 305 yards, 2 touchdowns. Chubb had 161 yards on the ground with a touchdown, and Hunt had 61 yards on the ground with 2 touchdowns. Browns were leading into the fourth quarter. Chargers outscored them 26-15 in that quarter to take this game. The difference in this game came down to the quarterbacks. Once again, Baker Mayfield, while playing a decent football game, can't take anything away from him. He played a decent game, a game manager type football game, which is, I believe, what he is at this point in his career, proved once again that he's not the guy that you want behind center in a close football game. Dude continues to come up short when the lights are the brightest. His team needs a touchdown with under a minute remaining, and he has to go 70 yards, and he's throwing checkdown passes to his running back. What the hell is that, man? Where is the Baker Mayfield from college? The gunslinger. The guy with the moxie, with just the arrogance of, I'm going to come in and I'm going to kick your ass up and down the football field. He came into the league with that type of moxie. And then everybody gave him shit for it because the Browns weren't winning football games. He needs some sort of intervention at this point. Because that guy, that dude, that gunslinger that we saw in college, that we saw early in his career, needs to come back. If Baker Mayfield played like the Baker Mayfield in college football, the Browns would very likely be Super Bowl favorites. Because they've got the defense. They have the best running attack in football. And Mayfield, for whatever reason, is their weakest link. The guy's going to get paid. He's going to get his contract. He's not going to get paid as high as somebody like Josh Allen, for instance. I don't care if he's the next man up or not. He's not going to make Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen type of money. Because he's not Josh Allen or Pat Mahomes. Baker Mayfield isn't even a top 10 quarterback in the league. He's about a top 15 because he can't win you football games. He hasn't. He's a decent franchise starter. Don't get me wrong. The Browns will be fine with Baker Mayfield under center for the next 10 years. But can you honestly say that when it comes to the playoffs, you feel good about the Browns with Baker Mayfield needing to throw a touchdown pass to win a football game? Or better yet, even drive down the field for a field goal in the final drive of a playoff game? Because I don't. There's nothing that he's done yet in his career to make me feel comfortable that Baker Mayfield is the guy to win that game. The reason why I'm saying he's a franchise quarterback is because we've seen plenty of franchise quarterbacks who are good game managers. Like, he's very reminiscent to Alex Smith in this way. Smith was a great game manager. He could win a playoff game every single year. You gave him like a 50-50 shot of winning a playoff game. But you never sat back and went, oh, Alex Smith is under center. There's under a minute left. Here we go. We've got a chance. Baker Mayfield under center, you're sitting back the same way with Alex Smith, and you're going, we'll see what happens. I'm going to cross my toes and cross my fingers and pray that, you know, we get a pass interference call or a roughing the passer call that goes against the other team so we can gain 15 yards, and maybe that'll put us in the best position to win. But you're not sitting back with any type of confidence that Mayfield's going to do it for you. So then we look at Justin Herbert, who is slinging the ball all over the field, has no fear whatsoever, and is playing to win the football game. And that's the difference. Justin Herbert is Baker Mayfield from college. He once again proved that he is one of the clutchest quarterbacks in the league, bringing his team back from the brink once again. He did it against the Chiefs 2 weeks ago, the Raiders last week, and the Browns this week. 5 of Herbert's 13 touchdown passes this season have come in the fourth quarter. 5. Dude is not afraid of the big moments. He might be the most clutch quarterback aside from Tom Brady in the league right now. Right now. I'm not saying that I would take him over Tom Brady in the fourth quarter, but what he has shown is that he's not afraid of the big moments. It doesn't scare him. He also has, again, in my opinion, the best receiver in football in Mike Williams. That dude is unbelievable. And I said it a few weeks ago, and I'll say it to you again. Justin Herbert is going to be the better quarterback between he and Pat Mahomes. Now, it pisses me off that Jimmy Johnson made this comment on Fox, and everybody is freaking out about it. I said it before anybody, and I understand that I don't have the same platform as Jimmy Johnson, but I'm just saying, I made that comment way before anybody else did. So now everyone's going to jump on that bandwagon. But just remember, I said it first. Not only is Justin Herbert the best young quarterback in football, but I still believe 100% that he's going to go down as the best quarterback we've ever seen. I think he's going to be better than Aaron Rodgers. I think he's going to be better than Pat Mahomes. I'm not saying that he's going to, and I'm talking talent here. I'm not saying that he's going to win 12 Super Bowls like Tom Brady. I'm just saying that as far as talent is concerned, Justin Herbert's going to go down as the greatest. And for those who like to point out the fact that I always say I'm on a wait and see approach and I like to see more consistency, I said to wait on Josh Allen, I said to wait on Pat Mahomes, I need to see it repeat itself. I am seeing it repeat itself. He's picked up where he left off last season as a sensational rookie, being the best rookie quarterback we've seen since Andrew Luck. He's repeating his performance. So I don't need to sit back and watch anymore. I'm seeing him pick up right where he left off. He doesn't turn over the ball. He's clutch when it matters. And he's got the arm talent, I think, the best arm talent in the league. So there's really nothing else for me to see, to evaluate, to be able to feel, to not feel confident with the statements that I've been making about him. All right, and finally we get to the game that I don't want to talk about, but we have to talk about because Lamar Jackson was a sensation, was the Ravens beating the Colts on Monday Night Football, coming back to win against the Colts on Monday Night Football, 31-25. So we're going to talk the Ravens first, then I'm going to get on my Colts. Lamar Jackson, 37-43 for 442 yards, 4 touchdowns, 14 carries for 62 yards. This was easily his greatest throwing performance of his career. I don't think there's any question about it. He was nothing sort of sensational in the fourth quarter and overtime. I mean, Jackson made history that night. He's the first quarterback in the league to complete 85% of his passes in a 400-yard game. He's the first NFL player with 400 passing yards, 4 touchdown passes, 0 interceptions, and at least 50 yards rushing. And this was the highest completion rate in a 40-pass game. So in a 40-pass game in NFL history, meaning he threw the ball more than 40 times. And that was at 86%. He was 86% throwing the football in that game. That is insane. Lamar Jackson is like hovers around 60 to 65%. And he just put the team on his back late in the third quarter, all fourth quarter, all overtime, and said, get the fuck out of my way. I got this. And it was unbelievable. Like I've been on a seesaw with Lamar Jackson his entire career. I started off by saying Lamar Jackson isn't a quarterback. He's a running back who likes to throw the football. Look, the guy's proven me wrong time and time again. So I've been wrong about Lamar Jackson. I kind of said that earlier this season when I put him in the top tier of my tier two quarterback, saying, look, he's a top 10 quarterback. I've been wrong about him. But I'm really wrong about him because there was never a point in time where I would ever believe that Lamar Jackson would be able to complete 85% of his passes in a football game. The dude was just, like, you can't say enough about him. Like, you really can't. This guy is unbelievable when it matters most, at least in the regular season. Playoffs are a different story. Dude still got some demons in the playoffs, but in the regular season, this dude's awesome. Now let's go to my Colts. Wentz, 25 of 35 for 402 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 turnovers. Wentz played a great game in the first half, and then he and the Colts didn't show up in the second half. They were abysmal. It is inexcusable to give up a 13-point lead in the fourth quarter. I don't give a shit who you are. It doesn't matter to me who it is. That's inexcusable. And to get blanked in the fourth quarter as well. So it's not bad enough that you gave up a 13-point lead. It's the fact that you didn't even get on the scoreboard in the fourth quarter. You were leading in this football game all game long. This game was going to be a blowout midway through the third quarter. And then you guys choked so hard. So hard. This is completely on Frank Reich, who I love. I love my man Frank Reich. This all falls on his shoulders. I don't know what the hell he was thinking in the fourth quarter. You've got 3 running backs. Use one of them and run down the freaking clock. This was like Atlanta Falcons territory in the Super Bowl a few years ago, where there was no sense of clock management, time management. Lamar Jackson is going on a run. He's on fire. Why the hell wouldn't you try and milk some time off the clock to keep him off the football field? What are you thinking? Like, this was an absolutely horrific performance in primetime. This was the game that could have set the Colts back on track for the season. This was the game when I saw this, when I was watching the game, and I'm sitting there and I'm going, this is it. This is going to catapult us back into the playoffs. The Titans are so-so. They're hit or miss depending on the week. This is the get-right game for the Colts. This is a massive, massive win for them if they can pull this off against a much better football team, in my opinion, in the Ravens, in prime time, at their house. This is the game to do it. This is where we kind of sit back and we go, okay, the Colts are a playoff contender. Now, are they a Super Bowl contender? No, but they're certainly a playoff contender. They can still win the AFC South. Now, the Colts season's done. It's over. We're done. There is no way in hell that the Colts are going to overcome this type of loss. They're not a good football team. Their defense is trash. They don't run the football when they should. They've got, again, the play calling is awful. And Carson Wentz is playing fine. Like, I'm not upset about Carson Wentz's play. The guy is playing on with he's playing through injuries. So given the fact that he's playing through injuries, I have no complaints about Carson Wentz. I do have complaints about the play calling, and I do have a lot of complaints about that defense. But at 1-4, no, man, our season's done. I said early on this season that the Colts had to come out of that, of this gauntlet of an early schedule. Now, their schedule gets immensely easy moving forward. Like, they're playing some cupcake teams moving forward. But I said they had to win at least two games. If they could win at least two games during this gauntlet of an early season, they would be okay. This was that game. This was that game that I said, look, I think they can beat the Ravens or the Titans. One of those two games, they'll be okay. And they lost both. And they blew this football game. So yeah, their season's over. They could, maybe they'll go on a run. They could, possibly. But I don't have any confidence in this football team. This was just an absolute disgrace. They don't deserve to make the playoffs after a game like this. Like, this was just, it was absolutely horrific. Absolutely horrific. I have no faith in this football team. And I don't know how any Colts fan can. How the hell do you not score a single point in the fourth quarter? You have been dominating this team for three quarters. And you can't get a freaking field goal? It's absolutely atrocious. All right, let's move on to some news and notes around the league. All right, so we're going to start here with Russell Wilson is reportedly out 4 to 6 weeks with a finger injury. Geno Smith will be the starter for Seattle. The Seahawks season is over at this point. Their next five games are the Steelers, the Saints, the Jaguars, the Packers, and the Cardinals. Maybe they'll win the game against the Jaguars. The Steelers, I think, are a better football team. The Saints could potentially beat them. The Packers will crush them, and the Cardinals will crush them. This gives the Seahawks an out because they weren't a playoff team to begin with. Even before Russell Wilson's injury, this team sucked all season. Like, they haven't been good all year. They've won a couple games. Russell Wilson hasn't looked great. The defense is terrible. That defense is almost as bad as the Chiefs. This will at least save face for a few coaches. Like Pete Carroll won't get fired at the end of the year. But don't be surprised when Russell Wilson's asking for a trade again at the end of the season, because I don't think he wants to be in Seattle anymore. Moving on, we've got Tom Brady, who was sensational against Miami, as I predicted he would be, 30 or 41 for 411 yards and 5 touchdowns. He's back in the MVP conversation, but I mean, realistically speaking, should he be at the top of the list? No. Like, take the you can throw the numbers about Brady all you want at me. He hasn't played well against better opponents. The cupcake games, like Miami and others, that he's beaten up on those opponents, that's great. This is what you're supposed to do. If you're a good football team, you beat the crap out of crappy football teams. But Brady struggled mightily against the Rams. He struggled mightily against the Patriots. And then he goes and he throws 5 touchdown passes against Miami. Well, congratulations for throwing 5 touchdown passes, but it doesn't make you, in my opinion, an MVP contender, like a top MVP contender. Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, and Justin Herbert have all played tougher opponents and won. Tom Brady just hasn't. And this isn't just on Tom Brady. I don't think this Bucs team is as good as everybody wants to believe that they are. He just hasn't played well against better opponents, or at least strong defenses. He can beat up, again, on the crappy defenses, which is great. But when you have to play tougher opponents, he hasn't exactly lit him up. The other guy who is in the MVP conversation, or very likely should be, is Dak Prescott. The Giants rolled an injury-riddled Giants 44-20. The Giants lost their three best offensive weapons on Saturday. Barkley's out with an ankle. He's likely done for the season. Jones' concussion, that was one of the ugliest concussions I've ever seen. Jones is going to be out for a while. And Galladay's knee. Not good. Not good for the Giants. The Giants' season is now officially over. Not that it was necessarily going to be a playoff. They were going to be a playoff contender, but they were at least worth watching. They're now no longer worth watching. Prescott, 22 of 32, 302 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a pick. The Cowboys are going to roll in this division. Like, it's not even close anymore. The Cowboys are going to run away with this division. They're going to be in the playoffs. And frankly, they should be. They're one of the best teams in football. Cardinals remain the only undefeated team at 5-0 as they defeat their rival 49ers 17-10. Kyler Murray, 23 of 31, 239 yards, and a touchdown. The 49ers continue to deal with injury issues which plagued them last season. This was not the same Cardinals team that beat the brakes off of the Rams last week. This was definitely a come-down game for the NFC leaders. Kyler Murray got banged up in this football game. We'll see how he looks next week. I'm honestly not concerned about him. Everyone's blaming Cliff Kingsbury for the reason because of his play calling or whatever. Get off the Cliff Kingsbury thing, man. The guy's undefeated. You can keep trying to discount what Cliff Kingsbury has done, but he's not that bad of a play caller as everybody's trying to make him out to be. He's not. I understand that Kyler Murray is a sensation at quarterback, and he's your MVP front runner, and what he does is unbelievable. Watching Kyler Murray is the one guy that I would pay against any other quarterback to sit down and watch. If I could pay to go to a football game, he's the one quarterback I want to see above everybody else. Yes, even above my man Justin Herbert. Kyler Murray to me is just so damn special with the football. The stuff that he's able to pull out of his ass is something we haven't seen since Michael Vick. Like, it's just, the dude is a revelation. But you have to give Cliff Kingsbury credit for the fact that this team is the only undefeated team. They're 5-0. You can't keep hating on the damn head coach. He's your front runner for coach of the year, for Christ's sakes. All right, let's get to my picks for week 6. All right, I'm coming back. I'm coming slowly but surely. I'm coming back. We're finally at 500 for the season. I was 3-1 again last week. I was 3-1 the week before. So if you've been paying attention and you've been listening to me, you're making some money. All right, here we go. 4 games for you. Packers at Bears, Cowboys at Patriots, Chargers at Ravens, which is the game of the week, and Cardinals at the Browns. Packers at Bears. Packers are a 4.5-point favorite. Take the Packers all damn day. I don't care if it's in Chicago. Look, the Packers are going to roll. I don't understand how the hell the Bears are 3-2. It doesn't make any sense to me. Justin Fields is not even close to being the type of quarterback that could beat Aaron Rodgers in a big game. So, Packers all day. Cowboys at the Patriots. The Cowboys are a 3.5-point favorite in Foxborough. I like the Cowboys here. They're just the better football team. They're much better than the Patriots are on offense. The Patriots defense has been kind of leaky of late. I know they were able to shut down Tom Brady a few weeks ago, but they gave up way too many points to the Texans last week. I mean, come on, man, it was the Texans. And I think if the Texans were able to score on them, the Cowboys are definitely going to be able to score on them. So I like the Cowboys here. I think the 3.5 points is take the Cowboys all day. Chargers at the Ravens. Chargers are a 3.5-point dog at the Ravens. I like the Chargers here. I think the Chargers are the better football team. I know the Ravens are coming off a massive win against Indy on Monday night, and I think that's similar to the Cardinals with having the come down game this past week against the 49ers. I think this is going to be the same thing for the Ravens. I think this is going to be a close game. But I just like the Chargers on the road here. Like I said, better team. They have the better quarterback. Take the Chargers in the 3.5 points. And then finally, you've got the Cardinals at the Browns. The Cardinals are a 2.5-point dog in Cleveland. How the hell do you have the... Like, this money line makes absolutely no sense. The Cardinals are the better football team. They're freaking undefeated. What have you seen from the Browns to make you believe that they could beat the Cardinals? This is about as disrespectful of a money line as I've seen in a long, long time. Take the Cardinals. All Cardinals are going to win by at least 10. That's my prediction. Take the Cardinals all day long on the road. They're going to beat the Browns, no question. It looks like the Yankees are going to keep Aaron Boone on as manager. At least that's what a lot of reports have said, at least through 2022. So for another year, we get to have a mediocre manager. Great. So we can expect the same then next season, right? We'll completely underperform. And maybe we'll make the playoffs, maybe we won't, but that's okay, right? No big deal. It's absolutely absurd that this organization continues to live in mediocrity, because that's what the Yankees are. If they're not competing for a World Series, as far as I'm concerned, this team is mediocre. We haven't won a World Series since 2009. 2009 was the last time we were in the Fall Classic. That's inexcusable. And now we're going to keep on the manager who hasn't been able to do anything for them in the postseason. We just completely underperforming year in and year out. Like, this season, we were supposed to be World Series contenders. We were supposed to win the division. Instead, we barely make the playoffs, and we get bounced out by the Red Sox, who are now playing in the ALCS. We were a better team than the Red Sox as a whole, as a roster. We had a better roster than the Red Sox, and we couldn't get it done when it mattered. That's underperforming. Now, I've seen people who have come to Aaron Boone's defense. I saw somebody on Twitter say, hey, Aaron Boone's averaged 98 wins a season. Whoop-dee-doo. Good for him. He's averaged 98 wins a season. What have those 98 wins every season that he's been the manager done for us as far as the postseason? Now, if he averaged 98 wins every single season and we were going deep into the playoffs, maybe not necessarily making it to the World Series, but making it to a few ALCSs, well, then you have yourself a debate that you can, that I'd be happy to listen to. But the regular season doesn't mean anything in New York. It never has. Yes, it matters that we beat the Red Sox in the regular season, and if we face them in the playoffs, then yes, we want to beat them there too. But outside of beating the Red Sox, the regular season is just a formality to get to the postseason. And here we are again, heading into a new season, and we're going to have the same mediocre manager. It's just, it's really, really upsetting. This Yankee organization has just not been the same for years. And if we keep Aaron Boone, it's just going to be a constant reminder that this is not the Yankees of old. This is a new brand of New York Yankees baseball, which is stuck in this mediocre bubble that we're not interested in putting together a good team. We're not interested in looking to find new ways to make our pitching staff better. And we're not interested in finding new ways to manage the team to get more out of the roster that has been put into place. Now, I have my own issues with Brian Cashman and the roster that he has put there, but Cashman's not going anywhere, and I just have to deal with the fact that Cashman will probably be there till the day he dies. So if that's going to be the case, then we need a manager who can get the most out of the ridiculous roster setup that Cashman has put into place. And Aaron Boone is clearly not that guy. So why you would keep him around for another year, especially if you're not going to sign an extension for him, he's a lame duck manager anyway, get rid of him now and find somebody better. Because if not, we're literally looking at a repeat of this past season, where we may make the playoffs, we may not, and even if we do, we're not going to do anything in them. Like, I don't understand how you can have any type of confidence in this team moving forward until some true structural changes take place. So this past weekend, my family went up to New Hampshire, which is a tradition on my wife's side, which is that we all go up, her whole family for the most part, goes up to New Hampshire on Columbus Day weekend to have like a mini family reunion. We go to a fair, we have a big family dinner. It's a lot of fun. Unfortunately, we weren't able to do it last year because of COVID. But getting together this year and being able to spend time with that part of the family reminded me how important the little things are in life, how important it is to spend time with those that mean the most, to be able to just sit down with them and have a conversation and talk about life and talk about how much they mean to you. And I think that we're all guilty of it, right? We're all guilty of living our lives and looking to the next day and not necessarily always living in the moment and taking advantage of the time that we have with the people around us. And I think if COVID taught us anything, it's that the little things really do matter. The little times that you get to spend with your friends or your family. Soak that shit up, because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. None of us are. And I think it did. It took a pandemic to really wake up a lot of us to realize, hey, you know, you can plan for the future. There's nothing wrong with planning for the future. And there's no problem with living day to day every once in a while. But at the same time, you need to try and do the best that you can to try and stay present and appreciate the things in your life that you have and the people, most importantly, the people in your life that you have. And make sure that they know how special they are to you. Because, again, you never know when they're going to be taken away from you or when you're going to be taken away from them. So just try to do what you can to remind those people around you how much you love them and how much you care about them. All right, that's my TED Talk for the week. Let's close down this pod. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the LaValley Sports Talk Podcast, brought to you by the Silent Network. As always, thank you so much for tuning and listening. I greatly appreciate it. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. And that's it. That's all I have for you this week. Hope you all be well. Stay safe. Talk to you all again next week.